Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we will be continuing a discussion that we started on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. The issue is Rabbi Yitzchok's point. Rabbi Yitzchok said that the word Sipor, which is in the Pasuk of Ki Yikore Kan Sipor Lefonecha, the word Sipor refers to kosher varieties alone. Kosher variety birds and not anything else. So that the nest must be the nest of a kosher variety bird in order for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKain to set in. The Gemara raised a series of questions that were answered each time, and we find ourselves in the middle of this series. By way of markings, we have featured them with a house marking around the Toshma expression. In fact, today's shir begins from the very last word on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the expression Toshma. Continuing here at the top of our Omed Kuf Mem, the Pasuk in Doniel says, Uba'anfoihi yedoirun tzipore shmaya. We see in this Pasuk the word Tzipor is mentioned, and it doesn't mention in this Pasuk the word Kanaf, as we had seen in previous Psukim. In previous Psukim, we were able to take the word Kanaf, which appeared in addition to the word Tzipor, and say that Kanaf covered the unkosher variety winged creatures, including unkosher variety birds, leaving Tzipor to refer exclusively to the kosher variety. But in this Pasuk, which features the birds of the heavens without any additional word, so we must conclude that this word Tzipor will include unkosher variety as well. The Gemara responds, no. In this Pasuk, the word Tzipor doesn't appear in isolation. It appears as a compound expression. Tzipor shmaya ikru, Tzipor stamo lo ikru. Unkosher variety birds, if you use the expression Tzipor shmaya, they will be included. However, if you use the word Tzipor by itself, in other words, without an additional expression, like in our Torah Pasuk of Ki Yikore Lecha Kan Tzipor, without any additional word attached to Tzipor following it, indicating that it is a kosher variety alone. Toshma, called Tzipor Tehora. So, from this Pasuk, you see the word Tzipor is described together with the word Tehora, kosher variety. Michla, one could infer from this, the Ikot Temeah, that there's something called a Tzipor Temeah. Loi, the Pasuk here is not designed for that inference, but rather, if you want to infer something from this, you say Michlal Deiko Asura, that there is the Pasuk talks about one is allowed to eat Tzipor Torah, however one is not allowed to eat Tzipor, that's Asura, that's forbidden. Maihi, what is intended by that? E Trefa, if it's a reference to a bird that's a Trefa, Behedyoksiv, the prohibition of consuming a bird that's a trefa is dealt with exclusively in another pasuk, in another section of the Torah. So the inference drawn from this pasuk couldn't be referring to that. V'i b'shchuta de mitzara, and if you were to think that the pasuk is referring to the one of two birds brought as part of the mitzora purification process, a mitzora when he starts his a week of counting Yemei Tahara, he starts off that counting with the bringing of two birds. One of them is sent free and the other bird is slaughtered. Now, the bird that's slaughtered is not eaten. So, maybe the inference from this Pasuk that says that you are allowed to eat Tzipor Torah, but not the Shchuta bird of the Mitzora, Well, that is not what our pasuk is for, because miseifa dekra nafka, that is excluded from the seifa, from the latter part of this pasuk, where it says v'zeh asher lo tochlu mehem. That expression equals l'rabos shchutas mitzora. So once again, what is the role of the inference of michlal de'ika tamea? Or better, what is the inference of the michlal de'ika asura? What is intended by that? Because we are trying to say that we're not. It's not inferred from here that there's something called a tzipor tamea, but rather there's something called a tzipor asura. So what is that for? Li'olam b'shuta d'mitzora. In fact, the inference of the beginning of this pasuk is the slaughtered bird brought by the mitzora. And you'll ask, well, we already have a source for that. No, the additional source, it increases the level of severity. That by, in addition to the negative command, which is the seifa of the pasuk, which we read two lines above, there's a positive violation if one were to eat it as well. In other words, in eating the shchuta de mitzora, one would be in violation of a positive and negative command. That's what I need the inference from the ratio from the beginning of the pasuk. Question: Velukma betreifa velavor olav beasei velo sase. Once you're saying that the additional, you can have an additional pasuk talking about the same topic. In other words, a topic that's already been mentioned, and the additional pasuk adds a level of offense, meaning an additional type of offense. So once true, we have a pasuk that says nevela utreifa lo yoyochel, that you're not supposed to eat treifa. That's a negative command. Why not ascribe this inference of Michlal de'ika asura as referring to treifa, and say that if one were to eat treifa, he would be in violation not only of that negative command, but this positive command as well? The Gemara answers, Dovar halomeid minyano. One of the ways of darshaning psukim, of explaining psukim in the Torah that are not clear in and of themselves, is by looking at the context. So in this case, when we're looking at the context of Kol Tzipor Tahora uveinyana deshchuta ksiv, it is in the context of things that are slaughtered and not the issue of a treifa. So what is the example? The example is the shchuta de mitzora. Toshma, we try again to raise a question. Shtei tziporim chayos. This pasuk is found by the mitzora. We've jotted the pasuk down on the side of the Gemara. V'tzivo hakoyim v'lokach lamitaher shtei tziporim chayos tahoyros. This is in the context of the mitzora. My chayos. What does the word chayos mean in this pasuk? Lav shechayos beficha. Does it not indicate? Does it not refer to something that you could in potential eat? Michlal de'iko de'lav shechayos beficha. It would imply that there are those kinds of birds that are called tziporim, but you cannot eat. So that you would see from here that the word tzipor could be a reference to birds that are tameos as well. Loi. That's not the inference here. My chayos. What does the term chayos mean? Shechayin roshe evorin shelahen. Birds whose limbs are intact. But not a reference to something you can eat. Toshma miseifa. Tahoros. The posuk that we read, and we have it on the side of the Gemara, it mentions shtei tziporim chayos tahoros. Lav mechlal deiko tameos. Doesn't the appearance of the word tahoros leave room for implying that there's something called tameos? And that would be a kasha on Rav Yitzchak, who said that tzipor is a term used exclusively with kosher variety. Loi. That's not to be inferred, but rather mechlal deiko trefos. There are tziporim that are tahoros, and there are tziporim that are trefos. But trefos is a phenomenon that could exist by a tzipor tahora as well. It's a trefa, as we've learned in the past, is a type of organ defect that renders the bird categorized as a trefa, but it's it's an answer all the same for the benefit of Rabbi Yitzchok, that the word Sipor does not refer to an unkosher variety. So the Gemara asks, but trefos mechayos nafka. The word trefa is the exclusion of trefa is learned from another word, namely the word chayos that's in that pasuk. The Gemara answers that honicha lemadomar trefa chaya. Things would work out well if you hold that trefa is something that could continue living. Therefore, I would need the word tahoros to exclude trefa. Elo leman diomar trefa eino chaya. Take note of the fact that we are at this point beginning a long question, and that's indicated by the encircled kuf to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. So the Gemara raises a problem, though. According to the opinion that says a trefa does not continue living, my iko lemeimar. What am I going to learn from the word tahoros? What we mean here is that if you hold trefa in a chayo, the word chayos, birds that do live, would exclude the trefa. Therefore, what is the role of tahoros if not to imply that there is something called tameos, which reinstates our question? The oid, and furthermore, as far as trefa is concerned, bein lamandar trefa chaya, bein lamandar eno chaya, whether you hold trefa lives or trefa doesn't live, as far as the prohibition of a trefa, that's miditona debe Rabbi Shmuel nafka. That is learned from another source altogether, from the Tana de Beirushal, from the teaching, from a Tanaic source coming from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. We will learn that a trefa is unfit for the mitzora process. The Tana de Beirushal Shmuel. We have a Tanaic source, and you can see how it appears in a frame. Ne'emar machshu mechaber b'fnim, v'ne'emar machshu mechaber b'chutz. The Torah describes things that are machshir and things that are mechaper. Something that's machshir enables one to, let us say, become fit for eating korbanos. Mechaper is something that offers atonement. There are cases of, or examples of machshirim and mechaperim that are done in the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and then there are those that can be done outside of the Beis HaMikdash altogether. Ma machshir mechapu amur b'fnim, just like the machshir, and the example of that is an osham mitzorah. The mechaper are other sacrifices a person brings for atonement, like chatois and ashamos. These are examples of machshir and mechaper that are stated, amur b'fnim, that are stated in the Torah to be done in the Azorah. Also, boy machshir kimachaper, we see they are paralleled, that we treat the machshir, the osham mitzora, like we treat the chatos and ashamos. Af machshir mechaper omer b'chutz, asay bo machshir kimachaper. So too, with regard to the machshir mechaper, the machshir b'chutz is the tzipore mitzora. The process that we do with the mitzora birds is done outside the Beis HaMikdash. The mechaper is the soyer hamishtalech. This is the goat that is not offered as a sacrifice, rather sent out to a cliff outside of Yerushalayim on Yom Kippur. So that's the example of the mechaper b'chutz. So just like we compared the machshir and mechaper b'fnim, af machshir mechaper omur b'chutz, also asebo machshir k'mechaper. We are told to compare the machshir to the mechaper. Now we know that the soyer hamishtalech cannot be a trefa. Just like it cannot be a trefa, the machshir as well cannot be a trefa, namely the tzipori mitzora. So, with that having been said, we cannot say that tahoros is coming to exclude for the Metzora the Trefa. We have this source which shows how we exclude a Trefa. So what is the role of Tahoros? It must be that to indicate that there are Tameos as well. In other words, the Pasuk by Metzora is telling you, take two kosher variety Tziporim and not unkosher variety Tziporim. But that would basically represent a problem for Rav Yitzchak, because we are seeing that the word Tzipor is associated with something that's unkosher. We have to offer some response, some defense on behalf of Rav Yitzchak. What does the word Tahoros in the Pasuk of Tzei Shtei Tziporim Chayos Tahoros, what's the role of Tahoros? In order to answer that, the Gemara presents four different possibilities. And we have a Nosei Mivneh heading featuring the triangle on the side of our Gemara, where we have written under the Nosei Mivneh, Deos Ma HaPosuk Tahoros B'taras Mitzora Bo L'lameid, the Posuk that says Shtei Tziporim Chayos Tahoros. So the Gemara answers, Elo Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Limute Tzipore Ir Hanidachas, that one would not be allowed to take the birds in a city that was condemned as an idol worshipping city known as an Ir Hanidachas. In general, the rule is, the rule concerning Ir Hanidachas is that all of the possessions of that city are to be burnt, namely destroyed through burning. So the term Tahoros is coming to say to us, take Tziporim Tahoros and not the Tziporim of an Ir Hanidachas. Lemai? Well, regarding which of the Mitzora birds are we using Tahoros to exclude? We mentioned before that in the Mitzora Tahara process, in the purification process of Mitzora, two birds are brought. One is slaughtered and the other is sent free. So, I l'shiluach, if the Pasuk here is telling me, don't bring an Ir Hanidachas bird for the Mitzora, for the sending away as a part of the process, well, that's obvious. I wouldn't need a Pasuk. Lo omra Torah shalach l'takola. The Pasuk wouldn't have said, send away the Mitzora bird and then have someone find it and stumble upon something that is forbidden, namely a bird from the Ir Hanidachas. So I wouldn't need a Pasuk to exclude that case or that particular bird. Elo l'shchut l'shchuta. Rather, the Pasuk by Taras Mitzora, where it says Tziporim Shteich Tziporim Chayos Tahoros, Tahoros is saying to us, don't bring a bird from the Ir Hanidachas to serve as the Shchuta. Namely, even the Shchuta bird, which you're not going to eat anyway, still don't bring it from the Ir Hanidachas. Rava Omar, Rava is a second answer. What does Tahoros do? Limute shelo lezaveg lo acheres koidem shliluche. We are told that you're supposed to bring shtei tziporim chayos tahoros to exclude the possibility of someone using the living bird of the first of a first or a particular mitzora and trying to use it for a second mitzora. In other words, trying to, for lack of better expression, to kill two mitzoroim with one bird, a paraphrase of another famous expression. So we're told this pasuk of Tahoros excludes recycling a bird, so to speak. In other words, a bird that was used for a first mitzora, not to use it for a second mitzora. Lezaveg means not to pair it up with another bird for the benefit of a second mitzora. Well, lemai, the question here is regarding which bird for the second mitzora would you have even thought to use the first mitzora's bird? E, l'shchita, if the first mitzora's bird is thought to be used for the slaughtering of the second mitzora, that couldn't be. Habaya shiluach. It needs, that bird that's alive from the first mitzvah needs to be sent away. Elo l'shiluach. We're told don't use the shiluach bird, the send away bird of the first mitzvah, for a second mitzvah. In other words, have two mitzvahs included in one bird that would be sent away. And that idea is learned from this particular pasuk. Tahoros, to exclude that particular case. Rav Papa Omar, Tahoros of the Mitzora Pasuk is Litziporim Shechlifon Ba'avodah Zarah. Imagine someone sold an idol to an idol worshiper, and he got money for that idol that he sold. We're told by the word Tahoros that if one were to take that money and buy a bird with it, that bird would be forbidden. Because the money that one gets for Avodah Zarah, it itself becomes prohibited. And then when you take that money and use it for purchasing something else, that subsequent item will absorb the prohibition that was on the money used to buy it. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayisa Chirim Kamohu. That's the Pasuk in the context of idolatry. And we learn from that, Kol Mashata Mahaya Menu, anything that you make from it. In other words, if you had an idol and you converted it into money by selling the idol and getting money, so the rule is Kamohu, it becomes like the idol. So in the meantime, Rav Papa is telling us, a bird purchased with Kavod Zorah money will not be suitable for the Mitzorah process. Well, Lamai, regarding which bird are we saying this? E l'shiluach, if it's for the Mitzorah bird that's to be sent away, lo omra Torah shaleach l'takola, the Torah, I don't need a posuk for that. It's obvious that I wouldn't use a bird that is considered usur for the send-away aspect of the mitzvah, because if someone else finds it, he's basically going to find and then eat a prohibited bird. So even without the pasuk, it would be obvious that you wouldn't use Avodah Zarah money for the purpose of the shiluach bird of the mitzvah. Elo l'shchita. Rather, it's for the bird that would be slaughtered. And we're told not to buy it. Even though the bird of the avod of the mitzvah that is slaughtered, we said before, is not eaten, nevertheless, don't buy it with avodah zarah money. Ravina Omar, hocha b'maaskinon. Once again, the fourth approach to saying what does the word tahoros come to exclude, at the same time that you're saying that it's not coming to exclude tameos. So what is it coming to exclude? Be'oif shoharag es anefesh. We're talking about a bird that killed a human being. And this pasuk is saying, such a bird do not bring for the mitzorah. Well, hechi domi, what are the circumstances behind this bird? E degomar dina, if the bird received a verdict of guilt that he killed someone, bar katlahu, it is to be killed. That bird is to be killed. Since it killed a person, it is to be killed. And as a result of that, it's obvious that it's not fit for the mitzora, not for the shaliach bird or for the shchita bird of the mitzora, because this bird is to be taken to be stoned. Ela, so what is being excluded? Koidem gemardina. We're using toros to exclude a bird that was thought to have killed someone, but it's prior to the reading of the verdict.
ulamai. Well, with regard to what aspect of the Metzorah do I need the Pasuk to tell me not to use this kind of bird? If it's referring to the bird of the Metzorah that would be sent away, boy, it's obvious that I wouldn't bring the Metzorah Shiluach bird using a bird that killed someone before the Gemara Din, because boy l'si l'beidina, it has to be brought to the court, the kiyumi, and to establish or fulfill ubi'arta rami kibecha, to eliminate the evil from our midst. And if you have a bird that's deemed to have killed someone, then you would stone it, you would get rid of it, and not use it for some other process. Ela l'shchita. Rather, we're talking about a bird that killed someone prior to its Gemar Din, and the word Torah tells me, don't use such a bird for the shchita of the Taras and Metzorah process. Rashi points out, and as far as if you're going to raise the issue of what about Ubiyar Torah, the post says Ubiyar Torah Mikrebecha, it's going to be slaughtered, and hence it's going to be considered rid of from this world anyway. At this point, we can say, just by looking over the Gemara, we had a question regarding what does the word tahoros in the pasuk of Mitzorah, the Taras of Mitzorah, Shtei Tziporim Chayos Tahoros, what is the role of Tahoros? Initially, it was thought that it implies that there are Tziporim that are Timaeus. And if that would be the case, then we would have a Kasha on Rav Yitzchak. The Gemara, though, answered no. The implication from the pasuk is that there are Tziporim that are Asuros, that's even more accurately, we have an implication from Tahoros, something else not to bring. And what that not to bring is, was featured in the four answers that were highlighted by the triangles that we just learned. So as we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading. We glance at the margin of the Gemara, and we see we've written Oif Shirovetzis al Beitzim She'enom Shelah. We'll be discussing an issue of a bird that incubates eggs that are not its own. The Gemara. Oif Tamei Roivetz al Beitze Oif Tahor. The Mishnah said that if an unkosher variety bird is sitting upon eggs of a kosher variety bird, there is an exemption from Shiluach HaKein. Bishlama oif tamei roveitz al beitzei tohor. That I can understand. If you have an unkosher variety mother sitting on eggs laid by a kosher variety bird, bo'inon tzipor v'leka. That I understand is exempt from mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, because the Pasuk spoke about Kain tzipor. And the word tzipor indicates a mother that is tahora. V'leka. And if you have an of tome sitting on eggs, she is not within the realm of the pasuk that said tzipor, which refers exclusively to a tahora. Ela oif tahor rovetz al beitze oif tome. Rather, if you have a kosher variety adult bird that's incubating the birds of the eggs of an unkosher variety bird, ha tzipor hu, well, that should be chayav in shiluach, and yet the Mishnah tells us that would be exempt. So just to review the point here, the Mishnah featured two cases. The case of Oif Tomei Rovetz al Beitzei Tahor, that I understand is not bound to the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein. However, the other case, oif tohar roveitz al beitze oif tome, well, ha tzipor hu, the one who's incubating the eggs is a tzipor, it's an oif tohar, therefore there should have been a mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Well, the answer is as Rav Kahana teaches. Kita omar Rav Kahana. The pasuk by shiluach hakein also says tikach loch, take it for yourself, and we infer velo leklovecha. Take it, but not if the taking is going to be good only for the dogs. That's a teaching of Rav Kahana. Hachanami, so too in our discussion, tikach loch velo leklovecha, that the expectation of the Torah is take it unto yourself and not take it to your dog. And if you were dealing with a kosher variety bird incubating unkosher variety eggs, and you were to say that there is a mitzvah shiluach, what are you going to do with the unkosher variety eggs? You'd give it to your dog. And that is not what is expected of us. Therefore, we understand both examples of the mission of Of Tomei Roveitz al Beitzei Of Tor and Of Tor Roveitz al Beitzei Of Tomei. Vehecha Itmar de Rav Kahana, where was his teaching stated? Ahod Asani on the following source. Aim trefo chayav bishiluach efroichim trefois. Let's read this again. Aim trefo chayav bishiluach efroichim trefois potter mishiluach. If the mother is a trefa, and she's nesting on eggs, so she's chayav to be sent away. If the chicks or eggs are trefos, so there's no mitzvah of shiluach. Menohani mili, from where do we know this? Omar Rav Kahana de Omar Kro, he says, based on the posuk, we can figure this out. The posuk says, tikach loch, velo leklovecha, take it unto yourself, and not take it for your dog. So with that, I understand that if you have a bird sitting on unkosher variety chicks, there is no mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Because what are you going to do with the unkosher variety chicks or eggs? Give it to the dogs? Well, the Torah says that you don't have to take dogs into consideration. Well, v'lakish aim trefa lefrechim. Why not state a comparison between the mother who's a trefa and chicks? Ma efrechim trefos poter mishiluach. Just like we know that if the efrochim are trefos, there is an exemption of shiluach. Af im trefonami poter milishaleach. So to where the mother bird is a trefa, she is compared to the bonim, she too should be excluded from shiluach hakein. So the So this presents a problem for us. We were taught in the source that an aim trefos chayav b'shiluach, but based on this suggestion to compare aim trefos to efroichim, just like efroichim trefos, we say there's an exemption from shiluach, so too, if by comparing the aim to the efroichim, an aim trefos also should be exempt from shiluach, and yet the source says that aim trefos chayav b'shiluach. The Gemara responds, Im Cain, if you were to think that an aim, if you were to think thusly, then Tzipor Limute Oiftome Lomali. If we look at Rashi at the top, Im Cain de Imon Nami Makshis Lahu Umitikach Loch Vlolikovecha Memait Ho Aim Kemo Hefroichim. If we were to take this approach and say, just like we exclude where the efrochim are trefas, we will likewise exclude the aim that's trefa. So I could use the same method of excluding an aim tamea as well. Namely, where the mother bird is an unkosher variety species, we would come to that conclusion without using the word tzipor. So from the fact that the word, that the Torah uses the word tzipor, it shows me that I don't follow, I don't accept this suggestion of making the comparison. Namely, the comparison that was suggested at the bottom of Amud Aleph, where we suggested to compare the Eim Trefa to the Afroichim. And as a result of not accepting that comparison, we stick with what it says, that Eim Trefa is Chayav B'Shiluach. The Ha Tanya, a question is raised, Eim Afroichim Trefa Chayav B'Shiluach. Here you have a source, and the thinking is that the mother bird, the mother of chicks, that happens to be a trefa, there is a chiyuv of shiluach. We see, therefore, let us correct ourselves. We have to, we made an error, and therefore we must correct ourselves. The question here of Ha Tanya, Eim Efroichim Trefa Chaya B'Shiloach, is the Havamina, and this question is that the mother of birds that are Trefos, Efroichim that are Trefos, there is a Chiyuv of Shiloach. If that be the case, then we are not darshaning L'cha V'lo L'klavecha. Omar Abaye, Hochi Komar, we have to re-understand this source. Efroach she'imun trefa chayav b'shiloach. What this source is simply saying, that a chick whose mother is a trefa, the chick is mutter. The chick whose mother is a trefa, there is a chiyuv shiloach. And this we learned at the in the source quoted three lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph. Boy Rav Hoshaya, Hoshit Yodo Lekain, Veshachat Miut Simonim Mahu. If a person extended his hand into a nest and started the slaughtering of a bird, however, he cut what's called Miut Simonim, focusing on the trachea for the moment. The halacha of a trachea is that until rove of it is cut, it's not considered a problem. It's not considered as having been cut, halachically speaking. So let us say a person cut a minority of a trachea of a bird. Mahu, what is the din? Is there a din of shiluach? Since he has the possibility of finishing the shechita, so we can classify the offspring that you did this to as tikach loch, and therefore there would be a chiyuv of shiluach hakein, because you would be able to take the offspring, even though you cut only part of the simen, the throat organ. You could conceivably finish it off. Mi amrinan kevon de ilu shavik lu mitrafi. Do we say that if you were to leave the bird alone with its throat slashed only in the minority of it, but it is a throat slashing, if you leave it, it will turn into a trefa. Bo'inon l'chavolo l'klavecha, and as a result of that way of looking at it, so there would be no chiyuv of shiluach, because even if you were to mishalech it, it'll turn into a trefa. Oy dilma kevan debiyodo lemigmar shchita, or do we say since it's within his power to finish the shchita, tikach loch karina bay v'chayv shiluach, we would call it something you could be taking for yourself, and therefore there would be a chiyuv, there would be an obligation of doing shiluach. Teku. So this remains unresolved. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah has a series of questions regarding chatzitza in a nest. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Matlis mahu shetochutz. Let us say you have a nest with eggs in it, and a cloth is laid over the eggs, and the
mother is sitting on the cloth. Does that constitute an interposition, a chatzitza? And if it would be, then there would be no mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Knafayim mahu shiachutzu. What would be if there are feathers that are lying over the eggs and the mother is sitting on that? Would that be a chatzitza and hence no mitzvah of shiluach hakein? Beitzim muzoros mahu. What is the din if you have eggs that there is no chick growing in them? Beitzim, they're unfertilized eggs. And the Mishnah said that they are not, there is no chiyuv shiluach. So the Rashi points out, Beitzim uzar, shein efroach bo mehen, kiramrina v'mas nisin, delo mechayvi b'shiluach. The Rashi goes on to say, mahu shiachutzu, im timtzalomar beitzim muzoros chosetzim, if you were to say that beitzim muzoros are chosetz, which will lead us into the next question of the Gemara, but in the meantime, you see that the issue of beitzim muzoros would be serving, let us say you have on the bottom of a nest, eggs that have chicks in them, and those there's fertilized eggs. Above them, you have a row or a layer of eggs that have not been fertilized, are called beitzim muzaros, and the mother is sitting on top of them. Is that a chatzitza? Shnei sidrei beitzim zu al gav zu mahu. The Rashi mentioned that if you say that beitzim muzaros are a chatzitza, what is the din with regard to two layers of eggs which are all fertilized? Would there be a possibility of the upper layer of eggs serving as a chatzitza between the mother and the lower layer? And if that would be the case, let us say you intended to take the lower layer of eggs. Would that be okay? Would there be an exemption of shiluach with regard to that lower layer of eggs? Zohar agabi beitzim unikevo al gabi zohar mahu. Let us say you had eggs in a nest. On top of the eggs was seated a male bird, and on top of that, on top of the male bird, a female bird. Would that be grounds for exemption? Teku. So all of these questions remain unresolved. Rashi just reminds us that the pasuk exempts shiluach hakein when there's a male bird incubating the eggs. Pasuk says this. Shalach teshalach esoim. The aim is the mother, not a male bird. However, in the last question, there was a mother bird in the picture. She was simply sitting on the father. Was the male bird a chatzitza? And as we said, that remains teku, unresolved. Boy, Rabbi Zera, yoino al beitzei tosil mahu. What is the halacha if a yona is one type of kosher variety bird is incubating tosil eggs? Tosil is a kosher variety bird. Tosil al beitzei yona mahu. What about the other way around, where a tosil is incubating yona eggs? Omar Abaye Toshma. We can conclude from the following source our question. The source says, Oif tome roivetz al beitzei oif tohor. The tohor roivetz al beitzei oif tome potur mishiluach. If you have an unkosher variety bird incubating kosher type eggs, or a kosher variety bird incubating unkosher type eggs, there is exemption. The inference, though, is ha tohor v'tohor chayov. If it's a kosher variety mother sitting on kosher variety eggs, even if they be of different nature, there would be an obligation to fulfill shiluach. The Gemara, though, rejects this conclusion and says Dilma b'kura. Maybe the case of the Tohor on Torah is not a general a requirement across the boards, but it is only in the case of the Kura bird. And in the case of the Kura bird, an exception is made. If we look at the Rashi, Dilma, Ha Ditani Bitor Vitor Chayav, that's Bakura Nekeva, that Kura kind of bird, a female Kura bird sitting on the eggs of another kind of bird, Dimin Hogo Bakach. That's the nature of this Kura bird. It sits on others' eggs. Umodu Bakura Nekeva, Afil Ain Habeitsim Shalah. And here there will be, we will concede that even though the eggs are not hers, they're from another variety bird, there is shiluach. Kilakamon, the hoyo vidarka hu legadlon, since it's her way of raising them, v'aim rovetzitz karina bay. Therefore we would apply the term aim rovetzitz on that, the mother. In other words, you can see from here that the one who raises is considered the mother. V'chi rovetzes al beitzes oif tome poter, and when there is nesting on a unkosher variety chick or egg, there is exemption. Dechtiv tikach loch v'lo leklavecha. Aval oif acher bot lo daito v'eino b'shiluach. However, another, other than the kura, another kind of kosher variety bird would be excluded. Kura zohar. What about a male kura bird incubating other eggs? Rabbi Elazar mechayev chomim potrim. Amar Rabbi Avohu, my time Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar say that there is an obligation to fulfill shiluach hakein under the where you have a male kura bird incubating eggs? Asya degira degira. We through word comparison. Rabbi Elazar comes to this conclusion. Ksiv hocha kura dogar v'lo yolad. The pasuk talks about the kura dogar. Dogar is to incubate. V'lo yolad, it didn't bear the child. Ksiv hosam ubika v'dogra b'tzila. The Rashi explains v'vaka v'dogra ma hosam degira ma'alya. There, the pasuk said ubaka v'dogra b'tzila is its own variety. It's mishtoi kra af hocha degira ma'alya. So too, in this pasuk, it's considered a full-fledged degira, full-fledged incubation. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is an Amora here. Machlokes, that is not to confuse him with Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana that we featured in our Mishnah. So the Amora Rabbi Elazar says, Machlokes Bekura Zohar. There is a Machlokes concerning a male Kura bird. Avo Bekura Nekeva, Divra Kol Chayav. If you're dealing with a female kura, everyone, including the chachamim, will agree there is a chiyuv, there is a shiluach hakein obligation. The Gemara says, "What do I need Rabbi Elazar for? Pshita kura zohar tanan." That's obvious. The Mishnah itself spoke about a male kura being the point of controversy. What does Rabbi Elazar add? Answer: Ma'u de tema. Without Rabbi Elazar, I would have thought Rabbanan afilu kura nekeva patri. The Rabbanan who said in kura zohar there is exemption, I would have thought they would say kura nekeva is also exempted. V'hadi katani zohar. The fact that the Mishnah taught zohar was v'hodiacha koychoi the Rabbi Elazar to show us how far Rabbi Elazar goes in his obligating shiluach when dealing with a kura, that not only in a nekeva, but even if a zohar is doing the incubation. Komash Malon, that's what the Amora Rabbi Elazar comes to clarify, not to think like this, that the Rabbanan would exempt even the Kura Nekeva, but no, Kura Nekeva, the Chachamim will obligate in Shiluach. Ika di Amri, another version, Machlokes Bekura Zohar, Aval Bezohar di Amo Divrei HaKol Poter. Another version of what Rabbi Elazar is coming to teach us is that the machlokes is when you're dealing with a kura, a male kura bird, but a male type bird of any other variety, Divrei Hakol Potter, everyone, even Rabbi Elazar will agree, there is an exemption of Shiluach. The Gemara says, well, Pshita, Kuro Zocher Tnan. The Mishnah teaches that there is an obligation, as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, only with regard to a male Kura. But I wouldn't have thought other kinds of male birds. So what would I need Rabbi Elazar to tell me this for? Answer, Mahu de Temo, without Rabbi Elazar, I would have thought, Rabbi Elazar afilu zocher de alma mechayev, that Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah would obligate shiluach even if it's a general type of male bird. Any bird that's doing incubation is to be sent away. V'hai de katoni kuro zocher, and the fact that the Mishnah featured the male kura was lehodiach hakoychon de rabbonon, to show us how far the rabbonon go in saying that even though it's a kura, nevertheless, since it's a zohar, there is exemption. Komash Malon, therefore, Rabbi Elazar comes to clarify this point and says that Rabbi Elazar would not come to obligate a zohar in general. Rabbi Elazar's obligation is limited to a kura zohar. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. Zohar the Alma Potter, a male bird of a general, of any other variety, is exempt from Shiluach. Kura Zohar, however, with regard to Kura Zohar, and only with Kura Zohar, do we see a Machlokas. Rabbi Elazar Mechayev, V'chachomim Potrin. That only then Rabbi Elazar will say there is an obligation to Mechayim Shiluach HaKein, but not with other male birds. On the other hand, the Chachamim, even with a Kura Zohar, will say there is an exemption. Hoysa Me'ofefes. The Mishnah features a fluttering bird. Bezman Shekhanofel Noigus Bokein Chayav L'Shaleach. If the wings are touching the nest, so then one has to send the mother away. Ein Kenofel Noigus Bokein Potter Mishalech, if it's fluttering but its wings are not touching the nest, so there is no obligation to send the mother away before taking the chicks. Ein shom elo efroach echad obeitzo achas chayov l'shaleach. Even though the pasuk says al ha'efrochim o al ha'beitzim in the plural, the Mishnah is telling us the plural is not a binding factor. Even if there's one egg or one chick, there is an obligation to send away the mother. Shinema kain. Kain mikomakom. The Pasuk says a kain, a nest, whatever the status is, whether it's occupied by an individual or occupied by the many. Hoyu shom efroichim mafrichin oi beitzim muzoros. If the nest is occupied by chicks that have their own flight capability, or beitzim muzoros, unfertilized eggs, poter milishalech, there is an exemption in that case of shiluach hakein. Shenemar vo'eim roivetzes al efrochim oy al habeitzim, and we take this pasuk and compare the two aspects of the pasuk one to the other. Ma efrochim b'nei kayoma. Just like Ephrochim are living, af beitzim b'nei kayoma yotzu muzaros. So to the beitzim that's referred to are beitzim that are going to lead to a living creature as opposed to unfertilized eggs. Uma habeitzim srichin le'imon. And just like beitzim are something that need incubation, they need the mother. So to the Ephrochim, feature in the Pasuk must have the same characteristic that they need their mother. Yotsu mafrichin, this would exclude birds that are self-sufficient in so far as that they can fly on their own. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, Rovetzetz velo Meofefes. The mitzvah of Shiluach is if the bird is crouching, is sitting, not fluttering. Yochol afilu knofel noigos bakein. Would there be an exemption even if the fluttering bird's wings are touching the nest? Tamalomar rovetzes. So by saying rovetzes in the pasuk, I understand that meofefes, even touching the cane, will be chayev. My tamuda. How do you see that point in the pasuk. How do you see that even if it's not actually sitting on the eggs, there still is an obligation? Answer, midalok siv yosheves. From the fact that the pasuk opted to use the word rovetzes as opposed to yosheves, yosheves would mean seated. If the pasuk had used the word yosheves, so I would have excluded the case of meofefes. However, the pasuk did not use the word yosheves, rather used the word rovetzes, leaving room to include the case of fluttering bird as well. Fluttering bird, if the wings are touching the nest, there would be an obligation to fulfill shiluach hakein. Amar Yehuda Marav. Before going on in the Gemara, we have assigned a topic heading to this section of the Gemara under the outside, in the outside margin, Hoisi Yeshemes Bein Shnei Roivdei Ilan, a bird that is seated between two branches. In other words, it's sitting on two branches, and the bird is in between them, two branches with a bit of a gap between them, and the bird is sitting on top of these two branches. Omar Rav Yehuda Amarav, the Gemara. Hoisa Yosheves Bein Shnei Roivdei Ilan. Roim. Roim means we evaluate. Once again, we've got a bird sitting on branches. Underneath the bird there are eggs, and the branches are raising the bird into the air. Roim, we evaluate. Kol she'im tishomet nofeles aleihem chayov l'shalach. If you were to remove the branches and the bird would fall on top of the eggs, that would be a scene or a setup where there would be a chiyuv of shiluach. The bird currently is sitting on the branches, but directly underneath it are eggs that in a nest, that if you were to remove the branches, the mother would fall right on them. So that's a sign that you would do shiluach hakein. The imlav, if by removing the branches the bird would fall off to the side, then potter, there is no shiluach hakein. Meisvei, we raise an objection from the following source. Hoisa yeshemes beinam potter milishalech. If a mother bird is sitting between its offspring, there is an exemption of shiluach al gabehen chayav l'shalech, if on top of them, so there's an obligation to do the shiluach. Hoisa me'ofefes afilu k'nofel noigoyis bakein poter mi'l'shalech. If it's fluttering, even if the wings are touching the nest, there is an exemption. Now this last phrase will be dealt with later, because in and of itself it's problematic in light of that which we've already learned. But the Gemara goes on in developing the question, my lav, is it not so, al gabehen dumya debeinehen, that we are to compare these two situations, the one of above to the one next to. Ma beinehem denoga behu, just like in the case of beinehem, there is actual contact, there's an assumption here that beinehem, the chicken is sitting between the eggs, but since it's not on top of them, even if she's touching the eggs, that happens to be exempt. Af al gabehen, so too the case of al gabehen, denoga behu. It's parallel to beinehem in the sense that it too is a case of touching. Aval rovdei ilan, but in a case where the mother is on branches, where it's above but not touching, potter, there should be an exemption. So to make things simple, the source that speaks about al gabehen is being chayev, but only if it's touching, not the case of being on branches. The Gemara says, loy, this is not the way to make the inference. Rather, al gabehen dumya debeinehen. If you want to make comparisons, compare it this way. The case of the mother on top is like the case of the mother between, in the following sense, ma beneim delo noga alayhu. The case of the mother between eggs, where there is no mitzvah shiluch, is because she's not touching them. Af al gabehen, so to the case of al gabehen, where there is an obligation, delo noga alayhu, where she's not touching the eggs under her. V'hainu rov ve'ilon, and that is the case of rov ve'ilon.
In other words, how can you have a case of al gabayhin and not touching? The answer is if the bird is supported by branches just above the eggs.
Hachi nami mistabra. And the Gemara feels that this approach is more likely, is the likely approach. If you were to think that the case of Rov de Ilan was exempt, Aditoni, instead of teaching, Hoysa me'ofefes afilu knofel noigos bakein poter milishaleach. That was the end of the source we had just above, featuring the fluttering bird. Even if the wings are touching the nest, there is an exemption. You could have taught me a bigger chiddush. Lisni rov de ilan. We could have told you the case of rov de ilan, if it were so that would be exempt. And the kol shekein me'ofefes. And I could have figured Mofefes out on my own. Mind you, in a case where the chicken, where the bird is above the eggs, if it's a case of Rov the Elon with the chicken, with the bird above the eggs and it's not Chayev, then certainly the case of Mofefes. Therefore, since it taught as an example of exemption Mofefes, it must be that the case of Rov the Elon is in fact Chayev, just like Rav Yehuda Amar Rav taught. The Gemara says this is not conclusive. In other words, to say Hachi Nami Mistabro based on the choice of Me'ofefes of this Tanaic source, that's not true. Me'ofefes, it's the Richole. I have to teach the case of fluttering. Even though the wings are touching the nest, there is an exemption. That's the significance of Mofefes. However, it could be that Rov de Ilan is in fact exempt. So the Gemara goes on and asks, V'ho anan tanan, but did we not learn in our Mishnah, Bizman shekenofel noigois bakein chayov l'shaleach, if the wings are touching, the wings of the fluttering bird are touching the nest, there is an obligation. And therefore, this brings into question the source, the brisa that we saw before, that featured the same case, Mofefes. And it said, even if the kenofel are nogos, but came, there's an exemption. Omar Rabbi Yirmiya, ki kotoni masnisa, benogea minatzat. The brisa that said that there's an exemption is where the wings were touching the nest from the side, as opposed to a fluttering bird whose wings are touching the eggs themselves, that would be chayev. Ika di Amri. Here we have another approach to the same issue. We have Rav Yehuda Amar Rav saying that a bird sitting on Rov the Elon above, directly above eggs, there would be a chiyuv of Shiluach HaKein. So here the Gemara wants to say, instead of asking a question, this is our second version, here we want to suggest a support. Hoysa Yosheves Beinan Podim Shaleach. If a bird is sitting between its eggs, so there is an exemption. Al-Gabayim, if it's sitting above the eggs, Chayav L'Shaleach, then he's obligated. Hoysim Ofefes, Afilu Kenofel, Nogos Bakein, Podim L'Shaleach. If the bird is fluttering, even if the wings are touching the nest, there is an exemption. Well, my lav, Al-Gabayim Dumi Debeinayim. Are we not to understand the parallel as follows, that Al-Gabayim is similar to Beinayim. Ma Beinayim Delo Noga Alayhu. Just like in the case where it's sitting between the eggs, it's not touching them. Af al-gabehen, so to the case of al-gabehen, which is chayav, is the lo noga alayu, where it's above but not touching, and that's chayav. V'hainu rov ve'ilon, and this would be the case of sitting on branches, just like Rav Yehuda Amar Rav taught. Loi, al-gabehen dumi debenehen. Ma benehen de noga behu. Just like the case of Beinayim, it is touching, and still there's an exemption because it's not considered al on top of. Af al gabehen denoga bahu. So to the case of agamen, which is chayav in shiloch, is where and only where it's touching the offspring. Avot rov the ilun potter, but the case of rov the ilun would be exempt because even though it's above, it's nevertheless not touching.
If this be the case, that Rov the Elon would be exempt, then instead of the Seifa teaching Hoysim of Fefes, Afilu Knofel Nogos Bakein Potter, listening, it could have taught listening Rov the Elon. Let it teach the case of the branches, the kol shekein ma'ofefes. The point being that even that if you want to tell us that Rov de Elon is exempt, then wouldn't it have been better for the source to teach Rov de Elon as being exempt, even though it's very much like Rovetzes, the Kol Shekein Ma'ofefes, and certainly the fluttering case would be exempt. But from the fact that the source teaches us exemption by Ma'ofefes, it leads us to think that the Rov de Elon would be obligated. So that to try to dismiss the support to Rav Yehuda Marav by this reasoning, that does not sound like the way to go. The Gemara says no. Me'ofefes it's the Richalei. I could tell you that Rov de Elon is actually exempt as well. However, the source had to teach me the case of Me'ofefes. Da'afilu knofel noigois bakein potu mishalech. Even though the wings are touching the nest, it is nevertheless exempt. And that's as far as why it was necessary to focus on the case of Mofefes. But Rov de Elon will also be exempt. Vo'anan tanan bizman shkinofel nogos bakein chayav l'shalach. But have we not learned that when the wings are touching the nest, there is an obligation? Amrav Yehuda ki kotoni masnisen benogea minatzad. The Mishnah that speaks about an exemption, that's when the touching of the wings is from the side. Ein shom elo efruach echod. Our Mishnah is taught that if there's only one chick in there, there is an obligation of shiluach hakein, even though the pasuk itself uses a plural. The Gemara raises a question. Amar le ha'um rabbanon le rava. Emo ipcha. Why not say the opposite as follows? Ein sham elo efroach echad o beitzachas potem nishalech. If there would be only one chick or egg, there would be an exemption. Because the pasuk requires the offspring in a plural form. If there were self-sufficient chicks or unfertilized eggs, there would be an obligation to send away the mother. Shnemar kain. Kain mikol makom. The kain, the nest, under all circumstances. So why not say like this? In other words, this suggestion, by the way, is the opposite of the way things appeared in the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, im kain, if this were the approach to take, nichtoiv kra, the pasuk could have written, vo'em rovetzes alehem. My vo'em rovetzes alu efrochim ala beitzim. What's the reason the pasuk spelled out all of this? Answer: La kushe efrochim lebeitzim ubeitzim lafruchim lefrochim. It had an agenda. It wanted us to compare efrochim to beitzim, compare the chicks to the eggs, to exclude the mafrichim, the self-sufficient ones. Ubeitzim lefrochim,
and it also wanted me to compare Beitzim to Ephrochim to exempt the case of Muzoros. So once I see an exemption of Mafrichim and an exemption of Muzoros, therefore Cain, its purpose must be to include the case of even one egg, as our Mishnah taught. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.